Sounds Like Europe, cross-border podcasting.
Hello and welcome to Sounds Like Europe, cross-border podcasting, a project brought to you by WIPA. I am your host, Javi Caminero, and I would like to start this episode asking you a question. How did you discover this podcast? Some of you might have gotten here because you are very interested in cross-border projects. Maybe some of you simply wanted to know about the podcasting industry in Europe, or perhaps you read about this podcast in newsletters like Sonograma or PodNews. You can tell me and the WePod team on our socials, at WePod Project. Personally speaking, whenever I find a new topic I want to learn about, which is usually stuff related to cinema, politics or sports, I look for podcasts that talk about that topic and can be helpful for me. So many of the times I discover a new podcast I fancy, I get to it after actively looking for it. Other times I discover podcasts thanks to the recommendation of colleagues who have a trustworthy criterion. But I hardly ever start listening to a podcast thanks to reading about it on the newspaper or hearing something regarding that podcast on the news. So to discuss which are the best ways to discover new podcasts, I'm joined by Andrea De Cesco, director of Cora Academy at Cora Media, our Italian partner in the WePod project, and founder of the first Italian newsletter dedicated to podcasts. Ciao, Andrea.
Hi, Javi. Well, thank you for having me here.
Tell me and the audience, Andrea, what's your story and how did your relationship with podcasts start?
Well, I think that I always enjoy listening to stories. I remember that when I was a child, I loved to listen to my grandparents listening. But anyway, I think that thanks to my grandparents, I learned how nice can be to listen to stories and also to listen to other people's stories. And what is curious is that in the university, I decided to study a faculty, which is classics, in which you study, you know, languages that you can't actually listen to. Well, anyway, when I started working as a journalist in Corriere della Sera, which is the main Italian newspaper, in 2019, I realized that something was happening around podcasting, but nobody, in Italy at least, was talking about it. And so I suggested my boss to create an online column, which back then I called Questione d'Orecchio, to talk about podcasting, about news and new podcasts, etc. And after a while, I turned this online column into a newsletter, an independent newsletter, which actually was like something really good for me, because right now almost all the jobs that I do, I'm a freelancer, are related to this newsletter.
You started your newsletter, you said Questioni d'Orecchio, back in 2019, and now you have more than 4,000 subscribers. But tell me, how did everything related to this growth happen, and when did it really start to grow?
Well, yeah, actually, Questione d'Orecchio right now has almost 5,000 subscribers. And it started growing thanks to word of mouth, I would say. You know, newsletters are like a very good instrument to create communities of people who share the same passions and the same interest. And so people started talking with other people, with friends and relatives, etc., about Questione d'Orecchio. This was the start of the growth of the newsletter. But for sure, the newsletter more or less exploded when the podcasting market exploded. And you know, when this happened, there wasn't any space in Italy that was really talking about podcasting from a journalistic point of view. And I was the only one doing that, actually. And so for this reason, I think that many people that before that didn't notice the existence of my newsletter realized that actually there was a space where you could find information about what was happening in the podcast market.
And the role of media like radio or TV is also very important when it comes to showing a podcast to its potential audience. And I believe that's what you're trying to accomplish on LiveGate Radio, right?
Yeah. I have a kind of radio column every Tuesday afternoon in which I tell a story about podcasting, for example, the use of AI in podcasting, robocalls, deepfake, or what else? Whatever. Yeah, transcription in podcasting, etc. And after that, I also suggest a podcast to listen to. And before that, with LiveGate, I was doing a podcast, which was called Parliamo di Podcast. I could translate let's talk about podcasting. And after almost 2 years, I think that it was a good idea to transform the podcast into this radio column in order to catch new kind of audiences. And yeah, I think that it was a great idea because in this way, I'm not just talking to people that already listen to podcasts, but to new people, people that listen to radio, but maybe didn't listen to podcasts before listening my radio column.
And are there more spaces to talk about podcasts in Italian media? I'm referring mainly to TV or to radio stations.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I think that almost every radio station in Italy is doing podcasts, and there are also some radio stations that try to get people know not their own podcast, but podcasts by other people. For example, there is Radio 24, which sometimes broadcast podcast by independent podcasters, which is great. What about television? Well, I wouldn't say that in the Italian television you could find much about podcasting. What's happening is that always more and more often you can find podcasters that turn into celebrities that are invited to talk at some talk show, for example. And I remember for sure that the first time that I saw an anchor woman talking about a podcast by Salvaggio Lucarelli, which is a very well-known Italian journalist, during a TV program on Sunday afternoon. And well, this was something that really surprised me because for sure it's great to have somebody talking about podcasting to an audience that maybe even doesn't know that podcast exists. So yeah, I think that this was a great opportunity for the podcasting industry.
Here in Spain, just to let you and the audience know, La Ventana is Spain's most listened radio show in the afternoon. And there they have a weekly space to recommend new podcasts, which is conducted by my colleague Eugenio Viñas. And that's quite important and quite telling of how the podcasting industry is growing, because as I said, La Ventana is one of Spain's most listened radio shows. And apart from media like radio and TV, why would you say spaces like your newsletter are so important to find podcasts? Because we are in a moment where almost every big newspaper in the world has a newsletter dedicated exclusively to podcasts.
Well, in Italy, it's not exactly the same. No, there aren't newsletters like you mentioned, like the one of the Guardian or the one of El País. I think that independent newsletters like mine or like Orecchiabile, which is by two good friends who are Giacomo Bagni and Chiara Sagramola. Well, I think that independent newsletters are really precious, first of all, because they're independent. And maybe this sound a bit naive, but it's not. I've never suggested a podcast just because somebody asked me to do it. And sometimes I can sound a little nasty for this, but I'm really proud of suggesting just things that for me are 100% valuable. And also often I try to suggest less mainstream podcasts, you know, podcasts by independent podcasters, podcasts that maybe the big newspapers wouldn't suggest. And this is another point.
And new independent things, that's very, very important to give an opportunity to less known creators. And how do you get to them? Are you constantly listening and looking for new podcasts, or do people propose for you to listen to their podcast?
Well, yes, actually I almost always listening to podcasts. Initially what I was doing, I was writing to every podcaster or every podcast company that published something that I enjoyed. When I launched Questione d'Orecchio, I was the one that had to do, you know, the biggest part of the job in this sense. But right now that Questione d'Orecchio is quite well known, and that I am quite well known in the podcast industry, in the Italian podcast industry, is much easier. I mean, I still search for new podcasts on the podcast apps. I try to look through the social medias in order to find new conversation about new podcasts. I search on Google, whatever. But especially I have like a lot of people writing to me and asking me to listen to their podcast and telling me that they are going to launch a new podcast. And I really like this. And I also love the relationship that I have built during the years with all this community of podcasters and people that work in the podcast field.
And newsletters have become quite a big phenomenon when it comes to recommending and discovering new podcasts here in Spain, as I mentioned before, because we were on that newsletter when we released our first episode. El País has a weekly newsletter about podcasts called Sonograma. In the UK, The Guardian has also a big newsletter called Hear Hear. And in France, the newsletter of Podmast is very important as well for the podcasting industry. But I believe, Andrea, and you can tell me what you think about this, that USA is leading the way here with Podnews.
Well, for sure, I think that everybody that is into podcasting reads or should read Podnews, because you could find almost all the important news about podcasting there. On the other side, Podnews is quite different from all the other newsletters that you have mentioned and that I read as well, because it doesn't have this personal aspect that I really enjoy when I read a newsletter. I really like to know something about the person that is writing. Since a newsletter is a kind of letter that you send through email, I would like to be treated a bit like a friend that is receiving this newsletter. Podnews has made an amazing job telling news about podcasting in USA and also in Asia. But probably if you are in Italy or in Spain, you prefer to read also newsletters that are more Spain-centric or Italian-centric.
Advertising is also very important to make podcasts grow and, as a consequence, to discover new podcasts. But I can't really remember the last time that I saw an advert, at least here in Spain, about podcasts, if I have ever seen one. So are podcasts growing less than they should due to a lack of publicity?
Oh my God, yeah. This is so important. And I think that this is something that podcasting really need. Right now, one of the main problem in the podcasting field is that the kind of people that get to know what a podcast is, first of all, and to listen to podcasts are always the same kind of people, you know, people with a high level of education, people that live in big cities, people quite young, even if the boomer generation is growing also among podcast listeners. But for sure, we would need to make a big effort in order to find new audiences also outside the big cities. I would like to find a way to make podcast arrive to different kind of listeners.
And before we end this episode, Andrea, I would like to ask you three questions about the podcast industry in Italy, in your country. So tell me, what's the most important podcast in your country right now? I believe you might have many options because you are like the biggest listener in Italy.
Well, this is a very difficult question. I wasn't prepared. So in Italy are very popular some daily news podcasts like Stories by Cecilia Sala or The Essential by Mia Ceran. Stories talks about, you know, a story every day from abroad, from Gaza or Kyiv or whatever. And The Essential is a podcast in which Mia Ceran every day gives you two news. And also I would mention Indagini, which is a monthly true crime podcast by a 60-year-old journalist, which is called Stefano Nazzi. And yeah, I mean, it's crazy. People are crazy for Indagini. I am crazy for Indagini. And if you can understand Italian, you should try and listen to it. And also I would mention all the podcasts by Pablo Trincia. Pablo Trincia probably is the most famous podcaster in Italy. And every time that a new podcast by Pablo Trincia goes out, people just get crazy.
And when's your favorite moment to listen to podcasts? If you could pick only one moment of the day to relax and listen to a podcast?
Well, I love listening to podcasts while I'm cleaning or cooking. I love cooking, but before I didn't really like cleaning. And now, thanks to podcast, I'm almost looking forward to clean. You know, that's very strange. And also, I love listening to podcasts while I'm walking along the sea. I live in Palma de Mallorca, and I try to go out and walk at least half an hour every day. And for me, that is just a magical moment.
And just to finish the interview, what's something that makes you stop everything you are doing in any given moment and go listen to a new episode of a podcast?
I think that I would say when something like Caitlin Prest, you know, the amazing podcaster of the art, when somebody like her publish a new podcast, because I love listening to audio art, you know, podcast in which the sound design and the storytelling and everything is so magical that even if you are in a bad mood, even if your life is not going on as you would like, you can just switch and go to this alternative world made by magical sounds.
So Andrea De Cesco, director of Cora Academy at Cora Media, our Italian partner in the WePod project, and founder of the first Italian newsletter dedicated to podcasts, Questioni d'Orecchio. Thanks a lot for being here on this episode of Sounds Like Europe.
Thank you, Javi. See you.
And to everyone listening, I've been your host, Javi Caminero. Feel free to recommend this podcast, and we will be back in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.
Sounds Like Europe, cross-border podcasting, is a WePod podcast funded by the Creative Europe Programme. Hosted and written by Javi Caminero, sound design by Manu Tomillo, coordinator Alexander Damiano Ricci, executive producer Anna Ribera.